Welcome to the podcast of the FBC Paris, a community of readers that focuses on intersectional feminism. I'm your host, Lou, and I'm delighted to share episode one of a new podcast season with you. The first guest of season five is Juliana Servant, who leads strategic partnerships at Fondation des Femmes. In case you've never heard of Fondation des Femmes, it's a French organisation that provides financial, legal and material support to feminist initiatives throughout France, particularly in regards to violence against women. They are currently supporting an estimated 500 projects, and public donations play a huge part in keeping them going. I spoke to Juliana on International Women's Day, in the same week that France became the first ever country to write abortion into their constitution. We spoke about her relationship with intersectional feminism, intimate partner violence, abortion rights, and of course, feminist literature. I'll leave you to have a listen. Hi, Juliana. Welcome to the FBC Paris podcast. How are you?
Hi, Lou. Thanks for having me. I'm fine, thank you. I'm very happy to be in your podcast.
Great. I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy that we're finally chatting and on International Women's Day of all days.
What a day. What a week.
What a week for France. And I know this has been very closely linked to where you work as well. But first, let's get to know you a little bit on a personal level. So would you like to briefly introduce yourself to the podcast?
I'm Argentinian. I come from Argentina, but I'm currently living in Paris a bit of like 3 years ago or a bit more. I'm a feminist, personally and professionally, as you know.
Yeah.
And I'm a great reader. I was going to say writer. Well, I'm a great reader and I try to be a writer.
Nice.
That's a bit about me.
Lovely. And so you've mentioned there that you're originally from Argentina, and what was it that brought you to Paris?
Yes, well, I moved in 2020, middle of the pandemic, to pursue a master's degree. I came to Paris to do a master's degree in gender studies and Paris 8 University.
Amazing, which I believe is a very politically engaged university as well.
Exactly. Well, I chose it because I come from a similar context in my university in Argentina. I studied in the National University of Cordoba. That was, it's one of the first public universities in the region, and it's also one that led a huge reform to establish the freedom of university to define their own curriculum. And it's very left oriented, it's very political, and I kind of love that ambiance in Cordoba. So I was looking for something similar in Paris, and that's exactly what I found in Paris.
Perfect. In terms of your feminism, what would you say was a key moment for you, almost like your feminist awakening, if you will?
Yeah, well, I was definitely, as most of us, I think, I want to believe, I was definitely not born a feminist. I was not even raised as such. I think I started discovering even the world when I was in my last years of high school and my university years. And it was a big moment for me, especially the year 2015 in Argentina. As some might know, it was the start of the movement Ni Una Menos.
Yeah.
Following a huge increase in the number of femicides in the country. So that was definitely a key moment. I was sadly, unfortunately, I was able to live that moment in the middle of university, as you say, but very politically engaged. I was going to my first march there. It was very strong, but I'm really glad that happened because thanks to that, I'm here.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. And do you have any particular feminist role models that you would like to share with us?
For sure, I admire lots of feminist writers, especially. I think I learn a lot about feminism through reading fiction and nonfiction. I really admire women that tell the stories of other lives.
Those become
Like fiction and non-fiction writers, but also fictional characters, certain women that we know that are in our family, in our group of friends, colleagues. I think these women are very brave to be able to look into their life and to tell their truth. And that's something that I admire a lot.
Yeah, I admire that too. You've mentioned that you're a feminist professionally and personally. Let's maybe talk about your work, because you work for Fondation des Femmes. And this is an organization that focuses principally on projects and initiatives around violence against women. So just kind of top line info for people who may not have heard of Fondation des Femmes. They basically provide financial, legal, and material support to feminist initiatives, partly through donations. These are projects based throughout France. And I was on the website recently, and I think the latest figure that we have is that they're currently supporting around 500 projects, which is not nothing.
Exactly. It's huge. Well, you said it perfectly. I should add, we're very new still. We were founded in 2016. As you can maybe see in social media around these days, around the 8th of March, we just published our communication campaign for the 8th of March. And as you can see, we're a foundation that wishes to not be necessary at this day, but we still are. Sadly, we still are. So as you say, in the last 8 years, the Fondation des Femmes has re-granted more than 10 million euros for projects, for 500 projects, as you say, all around the country. So it is huge. It is huge, and that this year we can count also with the support of 14,000 active donors, 13,000 volunteers all over the country, and more than 50 partners from the public and the private sector.
So I was looking on the Nutut account, which is very closely linked to the work that you're doing at Fondation des Femmes. So they estimate that around 31 women have been killed by their partner in France since the start of the year.
Just to add one number, we have more than 3 million women only in France that declare to be victims of violence every year.
Wow.
Every year, more than 3 million of women declare it. And we know that we still have some part that don't even declare it because they don't know how to do it. They don't know to who. They are scared even. So
yeah.
Definitely the Me Too movement was very important for that. It was very important to say to women, we're here to hear you, we believe you, you can talk about this, we should start talking about it more. So from that moment, I think from Una Menos in Argentina and 2 years later from Me Too all over the world, we started speaking up. But that also caused that in France particularly, I'm talking about France because we're focusing right now on that, but I'm sure this is happening all over the world. I'm sure it happens in Argentina as well. Associations are not able to respond to all this demand. Resources are tiny to the needs we have. I mean, we have some help of the state, but it's surely not enough. We have some help from the private sector, but it's surely not enough. And I want to take a moment to recognize the amazing work associations are doing in France right now.
Truly.
Because it's very tough and we need more resources. We need more money. We need more human resources to help them. We need more attention to the problematics we're living. So their work, I really admire their work. And that's, I think it's something that we share in Fondation des Femmes. That's why our mission is to support them, to help them do their work, to help them increase their budget, to help them increase their innovations, to help them think of other solutions to help these women that are in need.
It's Lou here. I just wanted to pop on and add some context because in the editing process, things can sometimes get a little bit choppy. So what you're about to hear is Juliana explaining what she does at Fondation des Femmes.
I'm just going to do a tiny bit because we have a team of amazing women that were in communications, in advocacy, in our legal team, in our projects team. So what I do specifically is I'm in charge of partnerships with the public and the private sector.
Right.
So this means basically that I do fundraising within companies, foundations, and governments that fund our work and the support we can give to these associations in France.
Let's talk a little bit about abortion and Fondation des Femmes, because I know that's also another focus of their work. So just for anyone listening who might not be aware, that's okay. This week on Monday, France became the first country to ever write abortion into their constitution. So,
woohoo!
Yes, it's certainly something to celebrate. It feels like a real concrete action, but also, you know, realistically, there's still work to be done. But talking of celebration, I know that Fondation des Femmes actually organized a kind of, well, a screening at Place du Trocadéro, which is a very, it's an incredibly well-known Paris location. It's pretty big. And so can you talk to us about how this came about? I believe that you were there in the crowd. How was that?
It was just amazing. Like, I cannot hide my joy, my happiness. We know we keep saying that the 8th of March is not a day where we celebrate women. We don't celebrate this day, but this week has definitely feel like a celebration from Monday up until now. As you say, we organized this event to screen the debate. The more than a debate was mostly speeches of congressmen and women that were talking on Monday, and then to we'll wait for the final vote together. We were among other associations, among activists. It was an amazing day, all surrounded by feminists. It was such a joy to be there. And as you say, yeah, it was a 13 meters screen just in front of the Eiffel Tower. And when the vote came through, we called actually Miss Eiffel Tower to say, you can let out right now. So it started to like tingle in lights. I don't know.
Wow.
Tingle, it's the word.
Like sparkling.
It was sparkling. Yeah, it started sparkling. It was just incredible. It was just incredible. Mm. It's a victory we should celebrate. As you said, it's not, we don't finish our work here. We're still going to be in the front line. We're still going to work every day, as I say, among all the associations, all the militants across France that work for this cause and other causes. Because to this day, there are women, even in countries where it's legal, that don't have access to abortion.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not a settled battle, but it's a great victory.
I think it's also an important moment to honor or remember the women who have lost their lives, you know, through being forced to undergo illegal and unsafe abortion procedures. Again, I was looking a little bit around the Fondation des Femmes website, particularly in relation to the work around abortion, and it's pretty expansive, which is great. So I believe that donations can go towards helping develop sex education programs, you know, in schools or for younger people, as well as helping with the Planning Familial initiatives, which is Planned Parenthood. And, you know, again, data is so important. So being able to collect new data. And also, I think what we're seeing is an access issue. So in perhaps more rural areas outside of the bigger cities, that's where the abortion centers are getting closed down due to lack of funding or, you know, resources. And so the kind of playing field for access to quick and easy abortions is not the reality.
No, definitely. Definitely it's not the reality. And we have to keep advocating for this. As you said, we have to keep giving out information. We work, as you say, with Plan Familial. There's Planned Parenthood of France.
Yeah.
We also publish reports, so the disinformation that exists in social network about this. I mean, we discovered there are like many sites, especially on Facebook, that were posing as neutral associations that were there to help women, but they were actually trying to dissuade them of getting abortions, telling that something bad would happen to you. It's actually not legal. It's actually very dangerous. So it's an everyday fight. I mean, there's still lots of things to do. And I think I work for Feminism and Fam. You have a feminist podcast and a feminist book club. So it can seem sometimes that we're very well informed and the things are working perfectly. But when you go out of our context, you realize it cannot be like that. And information is key, and help is key, and keeping in contact with these women that are in need is key. So that's a huge work that is Plenty Familia is doing. They have a chat where especially teen girls, but also women, can just open their phone or their computer and chat, that ask for information, ask for help, ask for like being oriented to where to do it, how to do it. What does it mean to have an abortion? What does it mean to have a contraception? I mean, this is key. Apart from the constitution is very nice and as a great victory, but all this little work on the side is very important as well.
It's the day to day, isn't it? There's no switching off, really. I don't feel like I can, you know, you can't switch off from being a feminist.
There's no disconnection.
Yeah.
As you say, like, you cannot, well, at least me, I cannot disconnect from being a feminist. As you said, there's some days at work that are very tough. At the same time, with our team, as from this in the fam, our colleagues, we try to face our everyday work with joy and with commitment, and we're very happy about the work that we can do. We're very happy to be able to help so many women in the country. We're very happy to work with some incredible associations and incredible projects. So it's sometimes the joy that trumps the toughness of the work. And then for the disconnection, not really, because then I come back home and I read feminist books and I read only women, and when you read only women, you start reading only feminist writers usually. So it doesn't happen for me.
There is no secret key solution. Like, we just
does it happen to you? Do you have some advice on this?
Oh, I think it's similar to what you've kind of touched upon there, where it's basically solidarity with your community. And that really kind of brings comfort to me, that there is this community, that there is, you know, what some might call sorority. We hold each other up when we need holding up, kind of thing.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Yeah, that's the connection.
Connection and community, I think, is very, very important. Talking of reading feminist books, reading women, I wonder if you could share a couple of your kind of culture recommendations with us.
Well, I love Paris for its bookshops. I love to wander. I could spend like 3 hours in a bookshop just wandering everything. So I would say for English books, my favorite is still Shakespeare and Company. They have just so amazing editions. I know it might sound cliche, but it's a great library. I also like that in Paris, we can find many secondhand bookshops.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. I think like and usually when I want in a specific book, I just go to a secondhand bookshop and I usually find it.
Great.
In English or in French, of course. And I love one that is really close to my office, that is Les Dilettantes. Maybe we can share the address in the episode.
It's absolutely.
Just in front of the Odeon Theater.
Yeah.
Amazing. They have so many books, great collections. They also have books in English, so I really recommend it.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I listen to it while reading. Yeah, I am reading all the time, like reading 3 books at a time. I'm reading a classic that I've never read before, and I'm surprised. I'm actually sad that I didn't discover it before. That is The Bell Jar of Sylvia Plath.
Oh my goodness. Do you know what though? To reassure you, I got to that late because we did that in book club and we did it, it was an online session during, it was when we went virtual because of confinement. Mm-hmm. And I had exactly the same feeling as you. I was like, why have I not read this before?
It's incredible. It's, what a discovery. I mean, I think sometimes with classics, I'm going to be honest here. Let's not be snob. I mean, maybe we can say this in our social media. I read all the classic. I love Virginia Woolf and Simone de Beauvoir. But then, to be honest, I sometimes struggle with certain classics because I find them hard to read. Mm. I think we're used to, I mean, I'm used to reading on social media. I'm used to reading newsletters that are super short, or I'm used to reading different kind of books that are a bit more modern. So they're easy to read and they're catchy. And when we find ourselves with a classic, we kind of struggle.
Yeah.
So I admit there's some classic that I couldn't pass the 10 first pages because it was a bit hard. We should try though. But yeah, with the bell jar, I mean, maybe it's for that I haven't read it before, but I'm totally seduced. I cannot stop reading it. It's just so amazing.
Yeah. I think there was something so radical about just writing about mental health when it wasn't really written about or spoken about at the time. And there's certain, she's quite matter of fact, you know, about it.
That one of my favorite books in 2023 was A Life of One's Own by Joanna Biggs. She's an English writer.
Yeah.
And she actually dedicates each chapter of her book to tell the story about nine women writers.
Right.
One of them is Sylvia Plath.
Right.
And you feel so close to her. And you feel like,
yeah,
how I felt when I was in university, probably when I started my first job, or like, there's so many things that connect us with those writers. And I think that's why they're so relevant even to this day.
And do you have any podcast recommendations for us, maybe, that I can pop in the show notes?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm addicted to podcasts. That's basically all I listen when I'm walking on the street, when I'm doing chores in my house. I think a great one I can recommend for your listeners, they might be learning French, as we all are. Yeah. Even if we haven't lived in France for years already, we're still learning French. So I think it's a great, well, it's actually not a podcast. It's Anne-Cécile Melfer, the president of the Fondation des Femmes, intervenes each Friday morning in France Inter. So either you can listen to hers in the morning directly on France Inter, but if it's too early for you because it's like at 7 a.m. or something like that, I'm not even alive at that time, you can find it on Spotify, or I imagine in every platform that has podcasts. It's called En toute subjectivité with Anne-Cécile Melfer. And it's great because it's only 3 minutes and you can keep up to date with feminist news in France and in the world.
Juliana, I just want to say thank you for your time. Thank you for having this open conversation with us, for giving us more insight into Fondation des Femmes.
Thanks to you, Lou. I loved our conversation. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, why not hit the subscribe button? Head to the show notes to find donation links, reading recommendations, and the feminist organisations that we mentioned during the episode. You can follow the FBC Paris on Instagram, @TheFBCParis, and Substack.